Mayor, can I just jump in on time management?
Commissioner Fish?
If I add up all the time on things that we have left, it's about an hour.
Not going to happen.
And I'm taking a break at 1, so I just want a fair warning.
Well, the good news is I've got a couple of items here, and Shannon Callahan and I collectively are time management experts. So let's start with the labor issue 670.
Ratify
and then we get to the housing.
Ratify a letter of agreement between the American Federation of State, City, and Municipal Employees, Local 189-3, to merge with AFSCME, Local 189.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Labor Relations Coordinator Jamal Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning. How are
good
you?
Good afternoon. Sorry.
Yes. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I heard what you guys just said, so I'll be expeditious.
Thank you.
So in 2017, the AFSCME represented members of Portland Housing Bureau elected to become members of the District Council of Trades Unions. And per the Public Employees Collective Bargaining Agreement, the city and the union had to meet to discuss the terms of the merger into the larger union. The city met with the union in May, and we were able to reach a tentative agreement which outlines all of the provisions of the DCTU contract which will and will not apply to these employees for the duration of the DCTU contract, which expires June 30th of 2020. So that's what the ordinance is before you today.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Any public testimony on this item, Keelan?
Jan, Connor, and Maggie, but they've left.
Jan and Maggie are gone. Call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
New Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Ordinance adopted.
Thank you.
671, this is a second reading, but I'm going to do something with it in a minute. Go ahead.
Authorize a borrowing of not more than $52,900,000 in anticipation of the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund levy for FY 2019-20.
Colleagues, I'm going to do something slightly unusual. This is a second reading, but I'm also going to ask that we add an emergency clause to this through amendment. The emergency language will read as follows. A, section 2, the council declares that an emergency exists to eliminate the potential of a negative fire and police and disability retirement fund balance that may occur under circumstances the borrowing experiences an unforeseen delay. Therefore, the ordinance shall be in full force and effect after its passage by the council. I'm moving that. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Please call the roll on the amendment.
Hardesty?
Aye.
New Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Now to the second reading. This is a second reading. We've already heard the presentation and public testimony. Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll on the ordinance as amended.
Hardesty?
I just wanted to say when I first saw this, I was like, what? Why are we borrowing this much money? But I am happy to say that I am very comfortable with what it is we're doing and the reasons behind what we're doing. And so I am an aye.
New Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Item 672.
Amend Joint Office of Homeless Services Intergovernmental Agreement with Multnomah County to authorize FY 19-20 budget allocation to the Joint Office of Homeless Services.
Very good. And we have Shannon Callahan, the Portland Housing Bureau Director, and Mark Jolin from the Joint Office of Homeless Services. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Mark and I are here to answer any questions you may have about the IGA in front of you. This is the third year that we have made an amendment to the IGA. We are making an amendment to reflect and effectuate the budget that Council approved in June. So essentially what we're doing is making sure that we can freely flow money between the Housing Bureau, the City, and Multnomah County's Joint Office of Homeless Services. So with that, I would see if Mark wanted to say anything, and otherwise we're just here to answer questions.
Only that there are no other changes to the IGA. It's truly just the addition of the new budget amounts as an attachment to the IGA.
Very good. Any further discussion? Any public testimony on this item, Keelan?
Yes. We've had 6 people sign up.
Very good. 2 minutes each, please.
Curtis Faith, Jan Conant, Joe Walsh. Doesn't look like. Lightning, Diana, and Maggie.
Too much of our time up front, and they had to leave.
All right, very good. Going once, going twice, sold. Sorry? Oh, there you are. Sorry. I apologize. Welcome. It's good to see you.
Good to see you again.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners.
Could you put your name in the record?
Oh, yes, I apologize. My name is Diana.
Thanks,
and,
Diana.
I think that this is really great. I feel that homelessness is a very, very serious issue. I was homeless for 2 years due to displacement, and so to see advocacy by the city to combat that is very, very much important. So I'm for this, and that's really all I have to say today.
Thanks, Diana. Thanks. Commissioner Hardesty.
Diana, I just want to thank you for keep coming back. I just love the fact that you have this curiosity about you and you ask good questions and you're very mindful and thoughtful. I hope you're a model for other people who come and testify here about the issues that are in front of the City Council. So I just want to thank you for coming back. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Thank you. With that, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Daly?
Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank Mark Jolin for his excellent work. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. 673, please.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Prosper Portland in support of the ongoing implementation of housing functions at the City of Portland Housing Bureau and economic opportunity functions at Prosper Portland.
Shannon, are you covering this one? Very good. Shannon Callahan, Director of the Portland Housing Bureau.
Good afternoon. Once again, Shannon Callahan. This is similarly to the Joint Office IGA, which you just voted on, a intergovernmental agreement that effectuates the transfer of funds between the Housing Bureau and Prosper Portland. Primarily, we are a recipient from Prosper Portland of TIF dollars for affordable housing development, and then we also transfer some of our federal dollars, namely CDBG, for workforce development efforts at Prosper Portland. These are also, these were what you approved in the budget process as well. So this is, both of these items are two things we do on an annual basis following your adoption of the budget.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Any further questions of Director Callahan? Any public testimony on this item?
We've had four people sign up, Jan Connett, Joe Walsh, Lightning, and Maggie. I don't believe they're here.
I don't see any of them here. Very good. Please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fish?
Once upon a time, this was actually a controversial matter on our agenda. That was before we took the housing functions out of PDC, created a freestanding housing bureau, and then settled the question about using CDBG funding for economic development. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. And you're going to have to read 674, and we'll move it.
Amend public improvements code to permit the attachment of wireless facilities on poles.
Colleagues, this has been rescheduled to July 31st, 2019, during the morning session, 9:30 a.m. Thank you. Next item, 675. This is also going to be moved.
Amend contract with TriMet for $6,571,781 to provide for enhanced upkeep and security of the Portland Transit Mall and the original light rail transit loop segment of First Avenue, Morrison, and Yamhill Streets.
Colleagues, this is also being rescheduled to July 31st, 2019 at 9:30 a.m. Commissioner Hardesty?
Thank you, Mayor. I would ask for a courtesy that this be heard when I'm back in town the following week, because I think that this requires more conversation since we're not talking about it today.
Commissioner Udaly, do you have thoughts on that?
We're talking about 675.
Yeah.
I just know the summer schedule is very challenging, and I'm assuming that there is some timeliness, so can we just proceed and I'll ask staff to see if there's another workable time, because I'll be out in August, and yeah.
Commissioner, if we reschedule it to the 31st, then we can work with the clerk's office to
Great.
Find a time.
But, yeah,
okay.
we can always move it later, yeah. But if we should hold the space now.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. We've already done 676. 677, please.
Remove the designation of 5 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, heritage trees are trees that have been formally recognized by the City Council. An important and essential part of the program is that no tree on private property can be designated without the consent of the property owner. Today's item is related to a case from 1999 where the trees were designated without the proper private property owner consent. Now let's be clear, we cherish our heritage trees and we are very reluctant to propose to remove a tree from the list. But the city has clear rules that we must follow, and the alternative to council action is that it is likely, according to our attorneys, that a court will reverse whatever we do, and we will incur attorney fees, which is not something that I recommend lightly. It is absolutely clear that the rules were not followed in this case, and therefore we're asking for this unusual action of council to delist 5 heritage trees. With us today are Portland Parks and Recreation Director Adina Long, Deputy City Attorney Molly Washington, and Urban Forestry Analyst Brian Lando, and they're here to give us a very brief presentation. Director Long.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Director.
Heritage trees are trees that have been formally recognized by City Council for their unique size, age, historical, or horticultural significance. Heritage trees are given the highest level of protection in city code. City code requires documented permission of the property owner at the time of designation for a private property tree to become a heritage tree. In 1999, 5 American sycamore trees at 230 Southwest 2nd Avenue were designated by council as heritage trees in the public right-of-way. The current property owner informed the city that these trees were on private property at the time of council action, and there is no record of property owner consent. This claim was researched and confirmed. Per city code, the Urban Forestry Commission is responsible for making formal recommendations to City Council on the listing and delisting of heritage trees. The Urban Forestry Commission is comprised of 11 community members who volunteer their time to advise the city on matters pertaining to trees, including regulations, budget, policies, and plans. The Urban Forestry Commission declined to recommend the heritage tree designation be removed from these trees and referred this decision to City Council. A statement to this effect from the chair of the Urban Forestry Commission has been submitted to City Council. Because no property owner consent was obtained prior to the listing of these trees in 1999, the heritage tree designation was applied erroneously. We ask City Council to remove the heritage tree designation.
One other point, if I just make for my colleagues, the developer does plan to build housing at this site, and this will be an inclusionary housing project. So we will be getting some affordable housing in a very important part of our city. Molly, do you have anything to add?
No, just that this is the appropriate process to go through to remove this designation.
Thank you, Council. And
Commissioner Hursty.
Thank you. I chuckled a bit when we have a commission that punts to the City Council, right? But the buck does stop with us, and I appreciate the due diligence that was done in notifying our office and having this conversation, because I think somebody noticed that I would be, what do you mean you're removing these trees? So I appreciate your proactive approach, and you're absolutely right. This is the right place to make that decision. It'd be good if the commission would have actually thought about that as well. Do we know how many other trees are on the list that, in fact, have not received the permission of the property owner, and how many times will we be doing this in the near future?
Well, I believe it's just those trees that are in question for this particular property.
Well, I know for this property, right. But I mean, is this going to be a trend that we're going to be asked over and over and over again?
This is an unusual set of circumstances.
Excellent.
But in fairness, this predates everybody at council.
Okay.
So this is a 1999 decision, a property owner is free to raise this issue in the future as we do development, but there was no question in this instance that there was no documentation establishing consent, and so it's a relatively straightforward case.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a few questions that you may or may not be able to answer. This is an unfortunate situation. Never like to see mature trees cut down. I don't think that we have legal grounds to deny it. However, my concern centers around mitigating the loss of the tree and the fee paid in lieu. So first I want to get clear on what we're talking about. We're talking about three trees that are street trees and one that is on private property.
It's four trees,
right?
And then a fifth.
Oh, so there's five. Okay, so four street trees and one on private property. Because it just says, oh, so the four trees refer to the street trees.
That's correct.
Okay. So the one that's on the private property will not have to be replaced because of the zoning doesn't require it. And the street trees will have to be replaced, correct? So there will be four trees cut down and four trees planted.
Actually, my name is Brian Landon, analyst with Urban Forestry. The mitigation for street trees that are removed in development is actually two for one. So there would be eight trees that had to be replanted or a fee paid in lieu.
So I guess that's my question. I think clearly there's not enough room for eight trees on this strip. So would they could plant four more trees somewhere else, or they could pay a fee in lieu?
Yeah, so they would most likely pay the fee in lieu because of the space available, which is $1,125 per tree.
I'm all for requiring developers to replace more trees than they're taking down, but in the case of the street trees, it seems a little bit odd. I'll think about that later. So my final question is this payment in lieu. Obviously, this doesn't remotely cover the true value of a mature tree over its lifetime. And I know that's not something that we can really fix today, but it's something that I would like to address for the future, because I think we still make it too easy and too affordable for developers to cut trees down and get out of mitigation. And we just, I think, contracted with PSU for a report that showed how important trees and just any green planting in the city is for eliminating hot spots throughout the city. So I would want all of our policies to be supporting, at the very least, protecting what we have, if not increasing what we have.
Commissioner Daly, just one qualification in this particular case. It is city code that requires that the lot line be moved to a place that makes it impossible for the trees in this instance to remain. So this is not a developer targeting these trees.
Right.
Our own design guidelines and our zoning code require that the lot line be moved forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Any public testimony on this item?
Yes, Jan Conant, Lightning, and Bruce Nelson. Maggie, Greg S. Everhart. And then after that will be Connor Stava and Christy White.
My name is Bruce Nelson. I'm a longtime resident of the Coe neighborhood and a longtime volunteer involved with tree activities in the Portland metropolitan area. The procedure that was used to delist heritage trees has not been followed. There's supposed to be public notice. There's supposed to be a fair amount of time. That procedure has not been followed. Perhaps there are grounds for it, but I'd just like to point that out. Urban Forestry Commission got 48 hours notice of this being brought before it, and they had 54 pages of documents submitted by the applicant to review in that time. These are volunteers on the Urban Forestry Commission. That's unfortunate that that happened. I'd like to switch gears now to ask you if perhaps there is another way to go about doing this. I want to encourage all of you to try to help the owner of this property find a way that the owner can win and that Portland can win. And by that I mean the owner is going to realize greater economic benefits from this property if there are some sort of landmark trees on the property. The value and the rental values of storefront property will increase. The sales in those storefront properties will increase. That can be a win for Portland. That can be a win for the owner of the property. I would hope that you could encourage the owner figure out a way where the residents that are going to live in these, quote, affordable units, there's a listing of 151 units. I don't know if that means residential units that are proposed or not. We gain the benefits from trees that are with us every day. We don't necessarily go to a park to see those benefits. Where we work, where we live, we need the benefits of those trees. Is that my 3 minutes already?
Two.
What?
Two minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Is that all I get?
That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, all right. Good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
Good luck with this.
We appreciate your being here. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm actually taking my hat off as Urban Forestry Commissioner and as the chair of the Heritage Tree Committee. And I'm really crossing my fingers. We've got a technical problem. My presentation was pictures because I wanted to show you and basically ask for help. I know Mayor Wheeler has both planning and sustainability and development services. I was going to show you five examples of heritage trees around which buildings have been built. Two of them are actually six stories. One of them has housing above retail. They actually, in that case, separated it into two buildings and have a minor setback by the tree, which is perfect for kind of the street life, you know, tables, dining, and so forth. In both cases, I am sure that the big buildings, that the units that are next to these trees will be the premier ones. I don't know if you can change the rent depending on the amenity when you look out on a tree. But if this doesn't work, I don't know whether this is considered an emergency or not, but I have brought a petition. We literally learned of this 2 days ago, and fortunately we had the showings of Canopy Stories. And in those movies, the Monday showing had the story of saving the Eastmoreland giant sequoias. Well, we got a picture at least. And then the one last night showed the Corbett Oak. And so there were a lot of people there that are tree activists as well as film aficionados. And they really were willing to sign, you know, their hope that if this was found to be a legal problem, that the city could work with this development team, perhaps encourage them. It was on the petition, but they would need an arborist, they need a landscape architect.
First, can I just say something?
Sure. Sure.
Thank you for coming today. I apologize for the technology glitch. This is the second or third that we've had. And Mayor, once and for all, can we fix the technology glitches?
I will pass that on to the auditor and the council clerk.
Well, I'm willing to entertain a motion for additional resources so that we can have a system that works, particularly when members of the public bring PowerPoints. But the other thing I just want to say to our friend from the Urban Forest, and time is up, and from the Urban Forestry Commission, without the consent of the property owner, we have nothing to enforce.
That's right.
And we don't disagree about values. We don't disagree about the significance of heritage trees. We don't disagree about the value of heritage trees to new development and to park development, other things. There is a single legal issue here, which is whether we have the consent of the property owner at the time the designation was made. Absent that consent, we go to court and we lose. We have nothing to enforce. So I don't want this to become I don't want the impression to be left that somehow this council is indifferent to the fate of heritage trees. There is a very narrow question, and no one has provided any evidence to the contrary that there was no consent. And absent consent, we have no enforceable right against that tree, The default is the code that allows for the removal of the tree, which our code requires as part of this development, and then the replacement through mitigation. So I just want, I want that on the record, because you are often here as the chair of urban of the Heritage Tree Subcommittee. It's one of my favorite annual exercises when we designate heritage trees. But for some reason, the city screwed up on this one, and without the consent, we have nothing to enforce. And I just want to be clear about that.
Right, and so if we frankly were hoping for a miracle, there are actually people that came too late to sign up that actually also wanted to testify. I know you have run out of time, but, you know, it's sort of a de facto heritage tree status. And you'll hear from the attorneys last, but those plaques have been on the trees. The landowners never questioned it and complained it.
Okay, so you're raising a question of adverse possession or some concept in the law, and we have a world-class legal department that advises us, and that's not a legal basis that we can assert. So when you said earlier that it would take a miracle, it would take a miracle, because the developer, in this instance, the property owner is well within his rights, because the approval was never secured. This occurred well before you and I were in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. So let's be clear, and we cannot retroactively tag a property owner with a requirement that the city failed to follow its own guidelines.
Right.
Let's be very clear about that.
Right. But I wanted to show the council, as well as any public that's watching, that there are successful developments around large heritage trees.
So Keelan has found the right keys, so here we are. Why don't you take a minute and walk us through it?
Okay, I'll go back to the beginning.
Okay, great.
So I've handed over the petition signatures. It was a mistake. The committee at the time felt that the sidewalk, and usually there's about 2 feet behind it, is in the right-of-way. But I want you to see these trees, because it's very clear they're going to be removed. There was a room on the petition for comments. Some of them actually were quite fun. Most of them were basically save the trees. It's interesting that this diagram is presented, because this shows sort of the prescriptive route. 1 foot out from the center of the tree for every inch of diameter breast height. There is an alternative. It actually takes an arborist, and you figure out where the roots are. And you can have a very different, conceivably much smaller root protection zone. But you actually have to get the expertise and take the time to do it. I'll skip that one. You guys approved it earlier this year. This is a landmark in my life. You can see that this tree is actually above grade of the road, the sidewalk, and the building's finished floor. And it'll give you some of the dimensions there. It's been that way for years and tolerates it. This project up in North Portland is still under construction. They dug 2 floors deep to do underground parking. And I've got a second set of pictures just to show you how the units that are next to this tree sort of how close this tree is. It's actually in the public right-of-way next to a sidewalk. It was designated a heritage tree after they had approval. And urban forestry didn't enforce any of the regulations they would have done afterwards. This tree is surviving. This landowner felt it was really important and valuable to their property to preserve this tree. And that's where we are hoping development services could look at all the kind of inducements and flexibilities. You don't have to build to the zero lot line if you have some reasons not to. And that's what it would take to save one or two of these trees. This tree's up in Northwest. I actually watched this reconstruction, but I couldn't find my photographs. Again, a very deep pit. Nick actually probably goes by this tree. It's across from Cinnamon 21, absolute landmark on that street. And again, I think there would be real premium prices as well as a business opportunity on the street. And then finally, of course, the famous beach at Portland State, where both the tree and the building are better together than they would have been separately. So thank you for the extra time. I appreciate the difficult position you're in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
But there were some people that didn't get to sign up, so I don't know what the process.
We're going to lose
We're going to lose a quorum really soon.
You're here if you want to make a quick point. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say something. My name's Connor. Just here to, as a concerned citizen, I don't have any necessarily skin in the game in that neighborhood. I come from the east side of town, at one of the most polluted areas in the Montevilla near 84 and Halsey. I shook Joanne Hardesty's, Ms. Hardesty's hand out there last year at this time. You were in Montevilla at the Stark neighborhood with a booth running for the council. That's very specific time in July. If there, you noticed out there, there wasn't a lot of people. It was 108 degrees out there during the day. And one of the things is that there's no trees on that street.
That's right.
There's no trees on that street. And I ask, what are we doing? I mean, this is a possibility that we have, you know, to make a have some sort of benefit in this area. These are old trees, something that we don't have in our neighborhood. And I just wish that the council would give a little bit more advanced notice for projects like this. I look at the painting up here, and I see, I'm not sure how to read this painting. I'm sure you guys know the history of it, but it's, for reading it from left to right in a traditional way, it's moving the city back into the forest. And in the foreground, there's trees right there. I mean, what's the importance? And I think we need to think about that moving forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Colleagues, any further?
Oh, there's one other person who just signed up, Christy White.
Oh, come on up,
White,
Christy.
I don't believe she's here. Oh, okay.
Hi, thank you. I will be quick. It's Christy White. I represent the property owner in this case, and I just say that we concur with the testimony and facts offered by the city attorney and the city forester before the UFC that's now reflected in the ordinance. We concur that the city code is clear, that there's no evidence of consent, and consent was required. And just emphasize a few things that have come up here. Commissioner Fish mentioned this is an inclusionary housing project, and what's great about it is it's one that's in the downtown core and is going to actually integrate the units in the building itself. And with this designation removed, I'd also respond, we still have to comply with Title 11 for tree removal and tree replacement, so there still will be trees along the right-of-way. And this building also intends to have a green roof, which will be helpful in the heat sink. And then, of course, the hottest spot is a surface parking lot, which will be going away on this site and replaced with something that is more advantageous in that regard. So with that, I know you're in a hurry to get out at 1 o'clock. And I'm available for any questions if you have them.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any further discussion?
Mayor, because of the unsettled schedule that we have, I would move that we put an emergency clause on 677.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish, a second from Commissioner Udaly. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
I've already put my concerns on the record. I'm kind of regrettably supporting this, but would just want to encourage anyone facing this kind of decision to really get creative and try to work around existing mature trees, because although they'll be replaced, they will these trees will take years, if not decades, to reach the size and impact of the trees that are being removed. I vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is on the table to the main motion is amended. Please call the roll. And then I need you for one other item.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Hardesty. Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
It's just become a Udaly tradition to give closing remarks on the amendment before the actual final vote. So y'all heard me.
First, right?
And I vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Ordinance is adopted as amended. Colleagues, we have three very quick items here on the consent. The first requires four of us to be present. Read 5653, please.
Pay bodily injury claim of Michelle Longtain in the sum of $125,000 resulting from a motor vehicle collision involving the Portland Bureau of Environmental
Who pulled
Services.
It?
Joe Walsh.
He's gone. Any testimony? Seeing none, call the roll.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Ordinance is adopted. 654, please.
Assess property. I'm sorry. 664? Is that
654.
Yeah.
664.
Yeah. 664.
So 654 was not pulled?
Nope.
No, it was not.
Okay, 664 was pulled?
Yes.
Very good. Go for it.
Amend city code to update oath of office requirements.
Any testimony on this item?
Here's the auditor.
Who pulled
it? Madam Auditor?
I pulled it. I had a question about this.
Very good.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. The Auditor's Office is proposing housekeeping changes to update the oath of office requirements set forth in Chapter 3.74 of the City Code and related requirements included in Code Sections 3.20190 and 3.20.240. Here's some history. The sections included in Code Chapter 3.74 were last amended in 1995 or 2007. Section 3.20190 was last amended in 1991, and Section 3.20240 was last amended in 1973. The effort to update these code provisions was underway when I took office in 2015. At that time, Ben Walters from the City Attorney's Office was working with Sue Parsons from the Council Clerk's Office and other Auditor's Office staff to develop proposed revisions. This effort stalled when Ben Walters retired, but was revised earlier this year when a deputy city attorney brought the issue of inconsistent oath code language to our attention. Current Auditor's Office staff work with Ben Walters' initial draft revisions to develop the proposed code changes that are before you today, with helpful input from the City Attorney's Office. Please note that the proposal includes changes to Code Sections 3.20.190 and 3.20.240, which are part of the Police Bureau's code and address oaths of office. We forwarded draft changes to the Police Bureau and city attorneys for the Police Bureau, who reviewed and approved the changes and made further revisions to better reflect current terminology and practices. Please also note that the code updates that are proposed today are housekeeping changes intended to address inconsistencies, clarify oath administration and timing requirements, and eliminate gender-specific and other outdated terms. The Auditor's Office was asked yesterday why this legislation does not eliminate some additional outdated terms. For example, in Section 3.74.010, we proposed replacing the gendered and outdated term substitute policemen with reserve officers, even though the Police Bureau does not currently use reserve officers. The term reserve officer is the term that is currently used in several other sections of code, and the proposed revised language merely retains the requirement that such officers, if they were used, would be required to take an oath of office. We were also asked yesterday about Code Section 3.74010, which requires private police officers to take an oath. This is original code language that does not appear to have ever been amended. The term private police officer was not flagged for deletion in 2015, and the Auditor's Office does not have enough information about its history to determine if it needs to be changed. If the Police Bureau has some context in which it uses private police officers, it would be consistent with the other categories of officers to require them to take an oath.
Commissioner Hardesty.
What's a private police officer?
I don't know.
Neither do I, so yeah. Why would we want it in the code?
Because there are a landscape of things in the city that I don't know, and if there is some context in which the Police Bureau would use those, such as in a mutual aid situation, an earthquake, you know, I just don't know where that comes from. And so no matter what they do, we would like them to take an oath if they're in use, just like the reserve officer code.
Now, I don't think that there's any situation where we would have private police officers, so it just doesn't make sense to me that if the goal is to clean up the language, that we would be leaving language that makes no sense. And so, in my mind, that is not a good reason to, just because it's in the code, that we should just leave it there. So my friendly amendment would be to take that out, and if the Auditor's Office is not comfortable with that, then I would be a no vote. And it wouldn't pass, so.
I have no opinion on that.
Neither do I.
Okay, well, this is being brought by the auditor. She doesn't have an opinion. You do have an opinion. This is a non-emergency ordinance. I suggest over the course of the next week we iron it out before we take the final vote. Is there any public testimony on this item? Seeing none, this is the first reading of the non-emergency ordinance. Moves to second reading. Next item, 665.
amend Portland policy documents code to update and clarify repository procedures.
This was pulled at the request of Commissioner Fritz. Is there any testimony? Seeing none, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading, and my belief is the last item is, we have one more, didn't we? Or am I mistaken?
I don't think so.
I believe we're done for this morning.
That's it.
Before,
okay.
Before
Commissioner
you,
Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Before you gavel us out, I just want to put on the record that I hope that we hold off on any conversations around police body cams while I'm on vacation for the next 3 weeks, because, as you know, I want to be very involved in that conversation. So just wanted it on the record that I'm hopeful that we will have that conversation when I'm back in the country.
I'm not aware of the forward-looking council agenda for the subsequent week, but I will pass that on to the police bureau.
Thank you.
Very good. Without further ado, we are adjourned.